Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip. Through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
Let me get the intro going. No, maybe I do this thing. Okay. Okay, welcome to another edition of First Two Battalion Chief. Tonight with me I have Tim Graves. I'm Danny Sheridan, and Battalion Chief with the New York City Fire Department. And I guess my engineer is asleep at the wheel because normally he runs that little music piece, which my daughter did with her symphony, and I like to add a little class to the show. So that's why we have that. But anyway, I want to welcome Tim Graves. Tim, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. Tim.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, my name's Tim Graves. I'm currently an employee with the New York State Office of Fire Prevention and Control, and I work in the operational support branch, and I'm the lead for the firefighter cancer prevention and firefighter health programs that New York State offers. I've been in the fire service for about 28 years. I spent 17 years as a career firefighter, and I've been a volunteer the entire 28 years.
Tim, where were you a career firefighter? Did you work?
I worked at a place called Knowles Atomic Power Laboratories.
Central. Okay. So, anyway, tonight, what do I call him now? Assistant Chief Frank Lee was supposed to be with us, but he is tied up right now in a fourth alarm down in the Bronx. So it'll just be you and I tonight. And I thought it's quite ironic that I heard Pete. Perkillo, he just ran the commercial before we started. I didn't expect that. I thought Bobby was going to speak. He normally does, and it's about cancer, right? So tonight I have you on, Tim, and Frank wanted to talk about cancer. He's been doing a lot of advocating for cancer in the fire service, and it should be commended for that. So tonight it'll just be you and I, and we'll be talking about cancer in the fire service. And it's kind of a coincidence as well, is that I'm actually out right now with a melanoma. This is my third one. I had gotten one about 2 years ago on my neck. I have two now. I had a carcinoma on my clavicle, just above it, and on my forehead I have a nice deep gouge from another melanoma. And I don't know the millimeters, but I know they weren't. The biopsies did come back negative, and I'll be honest with you, Tim, I really never paid much mind to melanoma. The first time I heard about melanoma, there was a captain in the Bronx, and he had melanoma, and I had no idea. I just thought it was like skin cancer, like what's the big deal? It's a little pimple, right, you know? And nearly killed him. He just barely, like, just escaped death. He recovered, and then I didn't pay attention to it for a long time, and then it started becoming a hot topic again just a few years ago, and now I've had three of them, so this is where I'm at. So, Tim, tell me a bit about what you're doing with the state of New York in regards to cancer and prevention and whatnot.
Yeah, Dan, I'm real sorry to hear about your diagnosis, but, you know, it's so important that you are able to catch that early. And early detection is something that I'd like to talk a little bit more about in a little while. But right now, what the numbers that we know is 40% of the population will be diagnosed with cancer at some point. All right. And as firefighters, we have a 9% greater chance than that of being diagnosed with cancer. And then we have a 14% greater chance of dying from cancer. All right. We've got a 1.3 greater chance of being diagnosed with brain cancer, a 1.5 times greater chance of being diagnosed with blood cancers, 2 times greater chance of testicular cancer, 1.3 times greater chance of prostate cancer, and 1.4 times greater chance of skin cancer. So the numbers are out. The studies have come back, and firefighters are absolutely more prone to being diagnosed with cancer and unfortunately dying of those same cancers. So in January of 2019, New York State had created a law that would entitle volunteer firefighters who met the minimum qualifications to an insurance benefit if they were diagnosed with certain cancers. They had 2 different levels of benefit, one for smaller cancers, one for larger cancers, a disability benefit, and then a death benefit. So originally my position was created to help disperse information, make sure fire departments understood the benefits, and to start a process to ensure that people knew about the law and the benefits that were there for them. And as we were going through that process with the state fire administrator and the executive team, we said, you know, this is a reactive program, and they thought that we really should be doing more proactive. So in short order, the state put in a policy that during all training burns, after all live training burns, the students and the instructors would go through gross decon. So we have, you know, 50 part-time fire instructors, and they teach throughout the state. They teach to volunteer firefighters, career firefighters, and oftentimes it's the first training that these firefighters get. And in the basic classes, they are being taught about the types of cancers that firefighters get and why performing the decontamination is important. So we have wipes that they use in between the live burns, and then at the end of the class, they go through and perform gross decon. They, the students are taught the types of cancers that firefighters are at risk of being diagnosed for. You know, more importantly, they're taught that their gear is hazardous. You know, we sometimes forget that our gear is heavily contaminated at fires, and whether it's a training fire or an actual structure fire, it's important that we treat that gear, you know, with the respect that, hey, this is causing harm to me. So they're taught about the routes of exposures. All right. Inhalation's the first route. That's the direct route into our body. You know, I think we've come a long way. I think SCBA use across the board is pretty consistent. I think breathe no smoke was an important message, and I believe the fire service heard that. I think it's important that we remember, even during the overhaul stages of fire, we still need to wear our SCBA to protect our airways. So then we have to move on and understand that our bodies are big sponges and that we absorb a lot of these toxins. So we know from studies that our jawline around our face is very absorptive, and as our bodies heat up, for every 5 degrees our bodies heat up, our pores open up 400%. And that's an enormous number. And it's also part of our body that's covered by very, very thin protective clothing. And quite frankly, often the hoods are just pulled down and worn around our necks for hours on end, and we are just, again, receiving a chemical dose from, you know, the soot and fires. So we have to understand that. We have to understand that our gear is not impenetrable. Nope, that's the wrong word. That smoke and contaminants make – what's that?
You would say penetrable. Yeah. I get it. Yep.
Yeah. Got a little tongue twisted on that one. So we just have to understand that the smoke and the contaminants are pushing through our gear at our zippers, are down the front of our chest, around our waist, and our mid-calf at the top of our boots. So we're being exposed to that smoke. It is making its way to our skin and our clothing. So we have to keep that in mind. And when we're able to, we need to use the post-fire wipes and wash our skin down with those. And then, you know, taking a shower within the hour. That's a great rule. You know, we take great pride in cleaning our apparatus, having the shiniest fire engines and cleanest equipment. It's company pride. I completely understand that, and I feel that sense of pride, but we have to have that same sense of pride when it comes to our own bodies. We need to remove that contamination from our bodies to stop that exposure. And then the third way is ingestion. You know, we're eating at fire scenes, maybe we're drinking at fire scenes. I believe more often the case, we go on fire alarms and maybe we're wearing dirty gear or our tools aren't, you know, necessarily 100% clean. We come back to the station and we go eat instead of washing our hands. So I think it's important just taking a simple step like washing your hands would help us out a lot. So we teach the firefighters those simple things. And like you had said before, we really didn't pay an awful lot of attention to this before. You know, 15 years ago, you know, there was talk, but it didn't quite hit everyone. And I think it's so crucially important that from the bottom up and from the top down, firefighters talk about this and talk about the risks of cancer and understanding that it's here and it's happening to us now.
Well, Tim, I don't even know where to start. I've written down about 20 things that you've said so far. So before we go on, though, let me get some business out of the way here. If anyone's interested in talking with Tim or myself, I'm going to give you a call-in number. It's 760-454-8852, and that's our call-in number, 760-454-8852. And normally we don't give any calls, Tim. Usually this is people listening on podcasts, but I don't know where to start, but I will tell you that I remember when I was new in the fire department, and if you go down to the medical office, they would pull out your folder, right? And I didn't go down there a lot, believe me. I was only down there probably, I could count on one hand. But I remember the folders would come out to the waiting area, and this is now going back to when we were on Lafayette Street, and if you had, and I can't remember now, I'm trying to think it's a blue dot. Blue or red dot, I can't remember. One was for the Trade Center, one's for the phone company. But they had a dot on their folder, and that would signify that you were at that fire, right? And what happened, I think, when the fire was in the 70s, like I forget, it's coming up, it's February's, I think, anniversary. And it was early 70s. And I remember, I was just a kid, you know. And, you know, it was thousands of miles of cables. PVC, like just in the basement of this 9-story New York telephone company building, and the cables were just burning. And what's funny about it is that this is the culture, right? So one of the lieutenants in one of the truck companies is quoted as saying, "Hey guys, we're gonna probably need our masks for this one," you know.
Yeah.
And I remember that being the culture. when I came on the job that masks were like, you know, you didn't wear them all the time. It was just like, you know, even we had a policy some even, you know, when we had did certain things that we didn't even, like you weren't even allowed to wear the mask. That was kind of our company policy, right? So,
right.
You know, and I thought it was like a badge of honor. You know, you come home and your coat is all salted up and smoked out and your helmet and, you know, and when I had hair, you know, back in those days, I, you know, you'd be in the shower and, you know, for 3 days, you know, you'd be washing the stuff out of your hair, you know, and it's all over your body. And it was kind of a, like, cool. Like we, you come back to the firehouse and you hang out and no one took a shower. Like now I'm like the opposite. And if I even see smoke, as soon as I get back to the firehouse, I jump in the shower. You know, I'm taking my stuff off the rig and clean it, and you know, it's like a total tidal shift. You know, so the culture, I'm still have 1 foot in the old fire department, where you know, still thinking like, you caught a good job and you took a feed and all that kind of stuff. To like now, I agree with you. Like I view a fire now is like a hazmat incident. Like we should be deconning, like as if it was a hazmat incident. Because I think the stuff that's burning today is so toxic, you know, the chemicals and the plastics, which is kind of ties in with the class that I'm doing at FDIC. I'm doing a 4-hour workshop on Monday the 25th at 10:30, I believe, at FDIC, and it's the UL fire dynamics, you know, the changes in the fire
service.
And what's happening, I believe, is that the stuff that's burning today is not what was burning 35 years ago, 36 years ago when I came on the job, you know. And
right.
The smoke, you could see it in the smoke, you could feel it, you could taste it. It doesn't even smell the same. It's just like, and the volume of fire, it's just all different. You know, now I'm horrified to think that, you know, like if we even ingest or breathe any of this stuff, because I feel like it's so toxic, you know. So I think you're spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the main groups of chemicals that they're studying right now, the PAHs, the polysilic aromatic hydrocarbons, you know, they are easily absorbed into our system, and they're studying those right now and what, you know, what they may do to us in the future. And one of the scariest things is, you know, sometimes we think about it's all about us, right? And a lot of the risks we take as firefighters, you know, we're doing it to help people, to save lives. And quite frankly, if you're doing this job, you enjoy it. You enjoy that rush or thrill of fighting a fire and things like that. And we as firefighters understand that risk. Now, the problem is with these PAHs, they're starting to find that there is significant potential for DNA damage. So absorbing these PAHs into our bodies, we could be doing DNA damage to ourselves and passing that on to our and who knows, possibly even their children. You know, so that's a another concern is we have our salty year, if you will, right? The dirty year, and jumping between houses, or you know, a lot of volunteers in the state have to travel around with their gear in their car. Where is that gear? Is it separated? You know, so our trainees, the firefighters who attend state classes, after their live burns, they're given a clear garbage bag, a thick, clear garbage bag, and their gear goes into that garbage bag. So if it does have to go into their vehicle, they're not spreading contamination. You know, I still know there are some departments in the state that when the guys go to bed at night, you know, their pants come upstairs to the bed with them. We can't have that. You're just spreading contamination. We're just making that exposure just continue longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. You know, I'm horrified to think that, boy, I distinctly remember doing this too when I was like a new lieutenant. And, you know, you bounce around, so you don't have a really permanent assignment for like the first few years. So I can remember, you know, going to work and then going to a fire and then just coming home in my uniform and throwing it in the laundry in the basement, you know, with all my family's clothes, my kids. I had three little girls, you know, and the house stunk like smoke, you know, like it was just reeking of, like, you know, and the kids all left, you know, oh, Daddy, you had a fire, you know, like, yeah, and the house, like the whole basement would reek, you know,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Thinking nothing of it, like it was just not a big deal, you know.
And again, I've done the same thing. And knowing what I know now, I just sit here and just shake my head. And you know, what damage could I have done already? You know, and we don't know that. So there was one study from the state of Washington. It was one of the executive fire officer classes from one of the papers written from that study, and they had found that in the state of Washington, the childhood cancer rate was 1.7 out of 10,000 children would be diagnosed with cancer, and that's, you know, the entire state of Washington. And what this report pointed out is that children of firefighters had a much greater chance of being diagnosed with cancer, and that number was 1 in 204. And that is an incredible number. So the state statistic for the state of Washington was 1.7 out of 10,000, and for children of firefighters, it was 1 in 204.
Damn. Wow. So, yeah, so I'm glad Frank came up with this tonight because, you know, you would think that being right in the middle of this whole thing with the cancer, that I would be like really hot on it. And I just still, I have to be honest, it wasn't until I really went to the doctor and he called me afterwards and he said, hey, good news, you know, we got it all and it didn't spread. And I'm like, you know, so you're not going to have to do the chemo and this. And I'm like, what? You know, like, what are you talking about? What chemo? You know, it's like, yeah. You mentioned too about where the cancer would be. And it's funny that you mentioned that the neckline, everywhere that you mentioned, that's where mine is. The three that I have, one is on my clavicle, one is on my right below my ear, and the other one is on my forehead. And that's exactly where my hood would be. And I can tell you right now that I never washed my hood. I would,
right. And
yeah,
from conversations
my hood
I've had
would be
with,
so black.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
no, go ahead.
And it was sitting on my neck. You know, that was it. Crazy.
And from conversations that I've had throughout the state, skin cancer, melanomas, from where your helmet sits on your forehead. You know, how many folks wash the inside of your helmets?
Never.
You've got that sweatband inside, and that's exposed to as much smoke as the rest of your body. And we don't wash the insides of our helmets, or at least we didn't. We should be now.
Yeah, I never washed anything. I mean, I'm telling you, the culture was like, be as salty as you can. You know, like, you know, don't touch any of my gear. Like, you know, like it's just like, but I think too though, maybe, you know, 35, 30, whatever years ago, that the smoke, you know, was cellulose based. You know, it was like wood products. I don't think we had the amount of plastics as we do today. But today, I mean, what we're going into is nothing short of a hazmat incident with the way, how I feel, how toxic the smoke is, you know. So,
You're absolutely right by saying that the chemicals that you're being exposed to in an everyday room and contents fire is extremely toxic, probably you're being, I would go as far to say you are being exposed to levels of chemicals well beyond what OSHA or PESH would say are healthy. And that is into our blood, into our bodies.
Well, it just makes sense. I mean, if you see the construction of the furniture, like it's just all petrochemicals, you know, and geez. And when it burns, it melts. So it's almost like a flammable liquid fire. So, I mean, that's a tell right there. And then how black the smoke is, and then the smoke becomes fuel, and then it's just all this toxins, you know. And I think, unfortunately, I have to be honest, I think that, you know, I'm probably the last of this generation that still thinks like, you know, the old way. And I think, hopefully, God willing, that the new generation coming up, that you guys like yourself in this state and Frank Lieb and all these guys that are advocating for this, you know, clean gear and stuff like that, that it'll be the norm pretty soon. I'm guessing that culture, because I can remember when my uncles got on the job, you know, and they would rate a guy's abilities, right? This is, and I can remember hearing this, and they would talk about Joe and Mike or whoever, and they say he was a great fireman, man. That guy could take a feed. You know, that was the measure.
Yes. Yep. Like, absolutely.
Man, you know, yeah.
And that culture is changing, you know, and it's just because we didn't know any better. I mean, that's really why. And now that, you know, we've got some really, really smart doctors and researchers out there who are really looking out for us and doing great research, you know, trying to figure out why we're getting these cancers and how we can better protect ourselves. So that's key.
Yeah, so, I'm just thinking, yeah.
And then you take even a step further. I believe it was in 2010, the IARC, which is the International Agency for Research on Cancer, you know, they're the ones who do a lot of research on what causes cancer. And on the front page of one of their books, they had three pictures, a picture of a couple of guys painting, a picture of group of firefighters fighting a fire, and then a picture of a night shift nurse working. And they're saying in this article, in this report, that firefighting is carcinogenic just by the shift work of it all. You know, not even talking about the carcinogens from smoke. You know, firefighters, as a rule, we typically don't sleep great. You know, we don't take great care of ourselves and get enough sleep.
No.
So that by itself is a hazard.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. You know, you talk about the sleep. I was just talking about this yesterday with a friend of mine in the gym, and we were talking about that. You know, I said I've been doing this for 36 years, and my body is so programmed to, like, you know, I used to be up all night. You know, I every 3 days I'd go into the firehouse and for a 24-hour shift, and, you know, you just knew. Like, I would do something like, you know, kind of sleep a little bit late on the, you know, on the day of, because I knew that I was going to get hammered. But, you know, when you have little kids and your wife's working and you're responsible for getting them out on the bus and lunches, and, you know, you're up at 6 a.m. that day of, you know, trying to get the kids off to school, and then you got to go in for that night shift. It's like, you know, wow. I mean, we're really beating ourselves up. Another thing that I had heard, and I know we're going to get off the topic a little bit, but it's kind of in the same vein. But I remember one of the guys I worked with talked about this. He said that, and I believe this too, because we can't even, it's like with Pavlov's dog, right? So when the bell goes off, right, that tone alarm, you know, the body produces adrenaline. They don't, because we don't know what it is when it comes over, right? It just says engine, ladder, battalion, right? It could be fire out five windows, or it could be a gas leak, We don't know until we know.
Absolutely. Right.
So there's this initial rush of adrenaline, and 2 o'clock in the morning, the bell goes off. It's that fight or flight. It's like, I got to fight, you know, it's like, you know, and the adrenaline pumps in, and that happens 3 or 4 times, 5 times a night, you know, from like midnight to like 8 in the morning. That has to wear you down.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it's called it's cortisol. It's a stress hormone that's released, and that does have negative effects, especially if it's being injected multiple times. But yeah, that stress, it's not great for our hearts. That, you know, adrenaline bump, and you know, you have that raised heart rate and everything else that goes along with it. So, you know, it is a stressful job, but I think we
right.
have, we're doing a better job at recognizing that. And you said you were at the gym, and I thought of firefighters working out in some way. They're working out more now than maybe they were 10 or 15 years ago, just trying to take a little bit better care of their bodies. Certainly, we're talking about medical screenings more and cancer screenings. So I think that is shifting the culture of the fire service to take a little bit better care of ourselves. So I think understanding that, having that recognition is huge.
Yeah, Tim, I could tell you absolutely. Like, so when I came on the job, pretty much every firehouse in the Bronx had a handball court, right? And the old timers did not want that handball court to be dismantled for any reason. So I can remember 17 truck, we had a handball court on the third floor that took up half the third floor. And eventually the young bloods took over, but they got their way, and then they put in a super gym. And now like there's like a great gym, and where I am now in the 3rd Battalion, I mean, the guys did a tremendous job. This gym that they have would match any club. I mean, like, you know, the handball court now is like almost like what they call those things, CrossFit, you know. And I would say at any given time, you'll see 2 or 3 guys up there in the gym just, you know, just banging away. And I tell you, I really admire these guys that they keep themselves in such good shape, and they're eating better. The meals are a lot healthier than they were when I came on. So I do see that shift, that guys are more aware of their fitness and their health, and they're taking better care of themselves, which is a blessing.
Absolutely. And just so the point's not lost, you know, it's, you know, Frank's working, but he is a champion for this. And I know that he's done a lot of work, and he's certainly helped me out greatly with the state's program. His guidance has been invaluable.
Right.
And, you know, we have a smarter fire service, I think. And, you know, I think we're being healthier as well.
Right. So Frank, you know what? I meant to order this book and I didn't order it. I think it's called The Mouth of the Dragon. Is that possible? Is that the correct name? There's a book he told me I should, I don't know if it's about the petrochemicals in the fire service or cancer.
Oh, yes.
I know what
you're talking about, but
I wish he was here to talk about it. There's a, I can't remember. It's something to do with the dragon, and I meant to order it, and I shelved it, and now I just realized, I said I never ordered that book, and I'm dying to read that book because it talks about all the chemicals and everything that's burning today in the fire service, you know?
Yes.
And, I'm going to make it a point to, now that I have it, I wrote it down, that I have to order this book because I think it's all connected. I think everything is connected that we're doing today with everything – even with the economy, stuff that's being imported into this country from other countries, the materials that are being used, then that translates to what's happening on the fire ground. And then, you know, the gear that we're wearing, it's all connected somehow. And, you know, we're going to have to start, and I'm happy to see it, that the young generation now is much more aware, like we weren't aware of this whole cancer risk. And now it's like, this is the topic now, is cancer. And it's getting, and with people like Frank advocating for it, that it's becoming more and more an awareness, you know, because I'm a testimony. I can't believe that I have three of them. And now I'm going to the doctor tomorrow to get another scan. And I'm like, geez, what are they going to find tomorrow? You know, I have to go every 3 months now.
Yeah. It's scary. And I'm glad to hear everything's going well. I think it's just so important that the detection was so early. So one of the groups that both FDNY works with and the state is a group called Detect Together. They were formerly known as 1540. And, you know, they have a really simple message. And that message is to know you're great and, you know when you're feeling great, when you have great energy and, you know, all of your body systems are working normal. And then if you notice a change, whether it's small pains in your abdomen or maybe it's a bump or a lump on your body that's not normal, you know, if that change, whatever it is, lasts longer than 2 weeks, you need to talk with your doctor and make sure that your doctor understands that you're a firefighter and that you are at an increased risk for, you know, many cancers. And the one slide that they have that is just so powerful, it's the cancer survival rates from stage 1 to stage 4. And that survival rate for bladder cancer, if it's caught at a stage 1, is 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's caught at a stage 4, it's a 5%.
Then you
go and look at melanoma. You know, skin cancer, like what you had. Stage 1, 99% chance of survival. If it's caught in stage 4, it's all the way down to a 23% chance. The other big cancer amongst firefighters is prostate cancer. If it's caught in stage 1, you have a 99% chance of survival. Stage 4, it drops all the way down to 30%. You know, so it's that early detection, being able to have that conversation with your doctor, being able to, you know, we're all, you know, tough guys and tough girls, and, you know, we want to ignore pain and, you know, we kind of drive right through it, you know?
Well, I could tell you firsthand, in my own family, my brother, he's 10 years younger than me. And he didn't work. He had a job where he was a bartender, you know, so he didn't really have the greatest medical coverage, you know. And I wish I had known what was going on, because I would have flew down to Florida and I would have put him in handcuffs and I would have dragged him to the hospital. And he was had all these symptoms. He had blood in his urine. He had back pain, and he just ignored it. And I had no idea this was going on, none at all. And this was back in 19, right? So it started just around now, in March of 19. And he had a small car accident. It was a fender bender. And the doctor, for some reason, decided to do an MRI. And next thing you know, they're sitting him down and they're like, "Mr. Sheridan, we have some really, like, some news. You have stage 3. And his cancer was in his kidney, and it just metastasized. And before you know it, he was stage 4. And all he had to have done is just, like, if I see a drop of blood in my urine, believe me, I'll give it like a day. And if I'm not dehydrated and I see it the next day, yeah, I'll be going to the doctor. If I have back pain, you know, my friend DJ, great friend of mine, he was down at the World Trade Center. He wasn't a firefighter, but he was an electrician. And he started with the back pain. And next thing you know, he's got brain cancer. He was 50, whatever he was, 52, whatever it was, and he died from this brain cancer. So, we have to pay attention to what our body's telling us, you know. There's all kinds of, you know, getting the checkups, go to the doctor. I go to the doctor through the fire department. I go through on my own once a year. I have a complete physical. And, you know, I need to stay on top of it. And when you ignore the signs, they don't go away. It's like having a toothache, right? You have a toothache.
Yeah.
You can ignore it. You can keep ignoring it. It's not going to get any better. It's going to eventually get an abscess, and you're going to wind up getting an infection. You know what I mean? Like, you have to listen to your body. Your body's telling you, hey, I got pain. There's something going on here. Let me go get it checked out. And now, you know, now I've learned the hard way. Like, tomorrow I'm going to the doctor, and she's going to look all over my body, up and down, inside and out, and just checking for every, you know, whatever freckles or whatever. Because I'm Irish, you know. So
yeah.
But I'm not a light skinned Irish. I'm actually a dark Irish. So I always thought I was like bulletproof. And you know, now she's gonna go over my body like very thoroughly. And if she doesn't like something, it's gonna be a biopsy. And I've had now quite a few biopsies, and this is only 3 times that they were positive. So, yeah, so big advocate of, especially if, you know, you're a firefighter for a while, you should definitely be seeing the dermatologist 4 times a year, once every 3 months, just to be on the safe side. If you see something that doesn't look right and your wife tells you that whatever you have, mole or whatever it is on your wherever, get it checked out. That's what I have. That's my own personal experience, you know. Wow.
And it's great that you share that, because you're very well respected, and people will listen to you. And you know, the message that I try to share with firefighters, it may not hit them. Whereas if they're sitting at the table having a coffee with you, and you say, "Hey, listen, this is a real thing." You know,
when that doctor told me, and he said to me, he says, "By the way, we got it all, and you're not going to have to do chemo." My blood ran cold. I was like, "What in God's name is he talking about? Chemo?" I thought this was a pimple, you know?
Right. And yep.
No, like, you got to see. Well, I sent you the picture of my forehead. I mean, he dug in there like he took a piece out of my head. Like, I lost my modeling contract with GQ magazine over this. You know what I mean? not to be played with, man. I learned my lesson. God, please, just, you know, get it taken care of. If your wife's on your case, don't ignore it. Like my brother, man, I wish to God I could turn back the clock and I had known that he was going through that, because I would not have let him go on, you know, with what he was doing. I'm going to take a break for a second. Again, our call-in number, if you're just joining us, I'm with Tim Graves from New York State. He's very involved with cancer prevention in the fire service here in our state of New York. And if you'd like to speak with him, our number is 760-454-8852. So let's see how we're doing on time here, Tim. Yeah, we have about 15 minutes left. So, I didn't think we'd be able to do a whole show about cancer. I said to Frank, I said, "Well, we'll talk about cancer, but we have about a few other things we could talk about." And now I'm realizing I have so much stuff written down here. Like, oh my gosh, you know, like we could, you know, I am really, I've been converted, because, you know, go back to the phone company fire, right? So what happened was, there's a great report that was put out by Jay Jonas. And if anyone wants to see that report, by all means, email me, DanielPSheridan@gmail.com. That's my name, just DanielPSheridan@gmail. And I will send you a copy of that fire report that Jay did a great job on that. He did like a whole rundown of that whole fire. And do you know that there was, I wish to God I can remember his name. He was from Rescue 3. And two chiefs, I think, or two, I think it was a chief and his aide were trapped on the like fifth floor. And they had Lexan windows on the first and second floor. The thing was just chugging. I mean, the smoke. I think I vaguely remember it. Like the city was like obscured by smoke. The whole city, the phones were out. It was like a disaster in New York City. And this chief and his aide were trapped on the fifth floor. And the chief, whoever it was, the big, I guess, chief of the department, whoever it was, sent in rescue three. He sent in like, I think it was two or three guys. I know I'm not getting the story 100% straight, but he sent in this lieutenant from rescue three. I think it was a lieutenant. It's an Irish name. But they got the guys out, and it was 35 trucks bucket, and somehow they weren't all able to get in the bucket, and somehow the lieutenant from rescue three had to go through the smoke, and maybe his mask ran out. He went to a fire a few days later up in my old area in 17 truck on 144th Street, like Brook Avenue. It was like a second alarm, and he died at the fire. And it was the first line of duty death from the phone company fire. And I remember, like, in the 80s and, like, the 90s that, you know, these firefighters were all dying from cancer, and it was all attributed to the phone company fire. Because what had happened was they didn't even, you know, you don't know what you don't know, so, you know, they're just treating it like a regular fire, you know, like they always, you know, like they run-of-the-mill fire. And the Lower East Side at that time was pretty busy. Those companies were, you know, 3-truck and 11-truck. You know, they were doing a good amount of fire duty. So, you know, they were used to doing their thing, you know, vacant buildings, maybe wear their mask, don't wear their mask. And the firefighters were going down into the sub-cellar, and the smoke was so thick that the flashlights weren't working, right? They couldn't even use their flashlights. That's how thick the smoke was. And the firefighters' bells were going off on their old SCBAs, the old Scots.
Yep.
A lot of them just had to take their mask off to get out. And there was one guy that stayed by the staircase, and he was like, I think he saved a lot of guys' lives, because if he had not been there, guys, they never would have found that ladder, you know? So he directed them out, but a lot of these firefighters were out of air, you know? And now they had to travel from the sub-cellar up to the, you know, up to the lobby and get out of the building. And they had taken a good feed, and a lot of these guys had cancer, you know. So, there's an article in NYF. I have a copy of that as well, and I have Jay Jonas's article. And if anyone wants it, it's really a good read. I think that's the beginnings of what we now seeing of cancer in the fire service with that PVC that was burning. And what had happened when it mixes with the moisture in their lungs, it turns into hydrochloric acid, I believe. And I guess that would either cause cancer or poison or something. But
yeah,
it's definitely not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep.
Right.
And
so,
those are things at that point in time. When was that? That was the mid-70s, that fire?
I want to say 73. 72, 73, the phone company, it was like February. So I would have been like 12 years old. I would have been like in seventh grade. And I vaguely remember, like, I could just vaguely remember the headlines, because I used to deliver the Daily News. And I think I kind of vaguely remember, like, seeing it on the, like, the, all you saw was like Manhattan was like a cloud of smoke. It was just like you couldn't even see the skyline. There was so much smoke. And,
wow.
Like the FDR drive, like people couldn't even drive on it with so much smoke. So guys, like even the firefighters in the street were probably taking a beating just being on the sidewalk outside the building. That's how toxic it
right.
was, you know? Yeah. So we have to, I mean, I know we're beating a dead horse, but you know, that SCBA, I don't know. And I agree with you. You mentioned it earlier about the overhaul. And that scares me too, because, you know, we're in there pulling ceilings. We don't, you know, we feel like, okay, well, fire's knocked down, there's a little bit of smoke hanging around, but God, like, I wonder how toxic that stuff is, you know, because it's just hanging still, that smoke, those particulates are still hanging in the room. Right.
Right. Right. So
maybe that's just as bad, you know?
It is. I mean, it's horrible for us that, you know, and it's such, you know, that's a huge culture change for us because we get in, we get the fire out, we start opening up some windows and there's no more fire. So we automatically think, well, the hazard's gone. And that's just not the case. You know, they've done studies and monitored areas where there's been fire and they off gas for many hours after the fire, you know, and then you have the very small particulate that we breathe in that causes a COPD and some other lung problems for us. So, you know, it's inconvenient to wear a face piece when you're doing overhaul, but it's the right thing to do. You know, I know New York City's, you know, responding to a lot of these lithium ion fire batteries.
Yeah,
and it'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
our new thing now, lithium ion. Right.
Yeah. And what does that, you know, what's there? What's in that smoke that we're breathing in? You know,
right. That's a good question because those batteries, those, what are they, 1865s, they're like little, they look like little AA batteries and they just pack them together, right? And they make these battery packs and they just a whole bunch of them. And then what happens is they overheat and then they just spontaneously just keep burning and you can't put them out with water, really. You have to kind of saturate them. So what does that tell you? Like, you know,
right.
How bad can that be?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I'm
unfortunately,
sure that
we don't know what we don't know, right?
We don't know what we don't know. I think right now we're just scratching the surface with that. And I'm horrified to think what's going to come out of this with these lithium ions because it's not going away. And
no.
What's happening in New York City is that a lot of people that live like where I work, you know, they need these electric bikes. They're like doing deliveries or whatever. They use it for their employment, and they're charging them in their apartments. You know, we had a fire. I wasn't working. I came in that night. There was a fire in the projects, and the lieutenant from 41 Truck, let's get his name now, Pat something. He's probably going to get the Gordon Bennett or the top medal in a fire department this year. But he made a tremendous rescue. He went past the fire, but the bikes were right at the front door, you know, so they blocked the means of egress for the occupants. So he went in and got the kid out in the back bedroom, and then they got a whole bunch of kids out, you know, from the windows as well. But, you know, this is what people are doing. They need it for their livelihood, and they're leaving these bikes in their apartments, and they're charging them, and then, you know, they're spontaneously just igniting and wreaking havoc, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible.
So yeah, you see what's happening, right? In the fire service, it's constantly in flux, right? It's always changing. There's always something else that comes along. Like we get comfortable. I've seen this for my whole career, you know, right from when I started, and it's always something. It's like either there's more security, better insulation, you know, then we get the change in the fire loads, higher heat release rates, and then, you know, we get better tools, we get bunker gear, we get rabbit tools, we get thermal imaging cameras, and then something else comes up on the other side, and it's a constant battle back and forth, right? And now this is the latest thing, right? The lithium ions and the cancer, right? We're realizing now that, you know, this is not your father's fire anymore. It's not your grandfather's fire. This is the days of, like, when I talk to the old timers in 60 engine and 17 truck where they had these railroad flats and they get up to the fire floor and then they would just, you know, they would just hunker down and put, you know, maybe one guy would have a mask and then they would just get to a window and then they would use the reach of the stream and then they would move in and then, and so on and so forth, right? Those days are gone.
Right.
Doesn't even exist anymore. So just to go off topic a little bit, you know, maybe the idea of this whole transitional attack may be a blessing for us because maybe just we might have to, because just the way things are changing, just the fire loads and the toxicity of the fires, maybe this is, you know, might have to wind up being the softer way, the safer way for our guys, you know, for our firefighters. It's going to be in flux for a long time. Yeah.
Right. And you know, see, you know, UL is doing some really, really good research. And maybe that's one of the questions is what does a cooling stream do to that black smoke, right? That superheated gases, does that reduce the amount of toxins that we're exposed to? I don't know. And certainly that that wouldn't be a fix for every fire, but if you know there's no one inside, and maybe that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it's just going to keep going. And there's going to be more changes on both sides, and you know. So, but we did have a good discussion tonight about cancer. I'm sorry that we didn't have Frank with us tonight. It would have been nice to have his input. And I'm going to look up that book. If I find it, I'll post it on my Instagram and my Twitter. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good read.
I think it might be called Silver Springs.
Yeah, I'll have to look. I know the word dragon's in it. I do.
Oh,
I'll
okay.
ask Frank. I'll because I know he talked about it when we did our UL class. So,
okay.
I'll wrap this up now. We're out of time. We just got about 3 minutes left. So I doubt anyone's going to want to call, but we'll try again. 760-454-8852. And if you want to call, you know, this is a number. So Chris, Tim, I'm sorry, Tim. I'm saying Chris. I'm reading Chris here. Tim. Where exactly do you live? You're upstate, I guess, obviously.
Yeah, upstate. I live in Schenectady County. So,
Schenectady.
Just
okay.
a little.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So my daughter went to RPI. She went to Troy.
Sure.
She lived in Troy, so that was close.
Yep.
I was up there probably a few times this semester, just one reason or the other, you know. Geez, that seems like a lifetime ago. She's already 28, so it was probably 10 years ago.
Wow.
I started up in RPI. So, all right. And it's funny, too, is that my oldest daughter is a chemical engineer. And she works for a company that makes Lysol. It's a British company. And she went to Cooper Union, and she's very dialed in, too, on this whole chemical, you know, she's... You know, one of these chemical engineer types, you know. So I pick her brain
Absolutely.
Once in a while. So with that, I don't think we have anyone calling us. So, Tim, I want to thank you again. It was a pleasure having you on. And if anyone wants to reach out to you, is there a way they could get in touch with you about anything about cancer? Or is there an email or a Twitter or something that they could reach you?
My email is really long. If I send you my email, would you post it?
I could do that. Absolutely.
You have a if you do that, that will be easier than me trying to give it to you right now.
Okay. No worries. No worries. So, all right, with that, I'll let you go, and then I'm going to wrap this up, okay? So, Tim, again, thanks, and sorry we didn't get to talk to Frank tonight, but until next time. So, again, Tim, be well. And we'll hopefully run into each other at the Rock one of these days.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
Take care. Thanks again. Good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. All right. That was Tim Graves from New York State. He and Frank Lieb are doing a lot of research and a lot of work here in the state on cancer prevention. And I have to tell you, this melanoma that I'm going through right now has really opened my eyes. I come from that old school where, you know, it was kind of frowned upon to wear a mask and, you know, we didn't do things like that. So now, like, you know, I'm thinking more like we should be treating every good fire like almost like a hazmat, you know, and let's decon and let's clean up our stuff. So anyway, with that, I'm going to end. Be safe out there, and until next time, I'll see you on the radio.